Would you turn to the book of Psalms? Psalm 118. This morning I had an immense privilege to speak to the men and to the young men from the book of Philippians, which evidently has also been studied here as well. The book of Philippians, just like all the New Testament books and the Old Testament books, a fantastic book, definitely for a local church. It was written to a local church. It talks to the saints, but to the pastors, the bishops, and the deacons. And then afterwards I asked the men, well, do you have any questions? And there were some very interesting questions that came up. And one question was personal. How do you react to life when perhaps you get discouraged or things aren't going exactly the way you planned? How do you come around to move back to the place where you ought to be in your Christian life? And over the years, I've been thinking about that because of the fact that every one of us can struggle spiritually. None of us have arrived where we ought to be until God causes us to glory. Even Paul said that. He said, I press forward. If he's pressing forward, or if he was, so am I, and so are you. We haven't got there yet. And yet tonight we sit in this auditorium comfortably, realizing that around the world there are believers who are being persecuted, who have to hide out, who can't name the name of Christ openly. And yet, in spite of everything we have, Monday comes around and we're saying, oh, I wish this was really Sunday and not Monday. Well, how do we cope with things like that? How do I cope? How does your pastor cope? How do we measure those conflicts that come in our lives day by day with what God says in His Word? Rejoice the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul has had to say it two times probably because they weren't doing it. And lots of times it's the same way with the way we are. And so the perspective of 5 days of work or the perspective of 5 days of school sometimes is daunting. How am I going to get through this? Or maybe it's a major health issue, as I realize some of you are going through right now. Or maybe it's an economic issue. Or maybe it's something that you haven't shared with except the Lord. How do I move forward? How do I cope with this? And I believe that even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, certainly, there are principles that God gives us that we cannot escape. And what I'm saying to you tonight from God's Word is not positive thinking, because of perhaps your character, you're that person, as we say in French, who sees everything in rose, the color pink, or perhaps you're the other way, you see everything in black because you're melancholy. But how do we take our personalities and who we are, our faults, our good points, the negative points, and put that all together and live for Jesus Christ, for God, every day? You know there are going to be ups and downs. You know it's always going to be on a spiritual plane where you are top. And so what do we do? How do we cope with it? In Psalm 118, we have a messianic psalm. Actually, the messianic psalms begin in chapter 2. But when you get to Psalm 118, you read this. Would you follow along with me from verse 21? I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Let me stop there. Peter, there he goes. See, there might be a French word every once in a while. Peter quotes this in his book. So we know he's probably talking about the Messiah. And then he goes on in verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then he says in verse 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And there it is, friends. Start that way. Okay, This is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad. We will rejoice and be glad. Evidently, this is messianic. Evidently, the psalmist is saying someday the stone is coming back. He's going to rule. He's Jesus. And the believers at that time will say, this is the day. My, God is ruling. Like we mentioned this morning with the children, junior church, starting with the Beatitudes. By the way, the Beatitudes have to do with attitudes, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But the word there, this is the day, is a word in Hebrew, yom. You've probably heard it before. It's the same word used in Genesis chapter 1. And sometimes referred to a 24-hour period, 24-hour creation aspect. It sometimes refers to a period of time. But also it can refer to the day of the Lord. Perhaps the time from the tribulation to the end of the millennium. You get to the New Testament, you have the day of God, when God will set everything aright. But my friend, this is personal to me. Every day, I say, in my thinking, in my mind, c'est ici la journée que le Seigneur a faite, c'est pour moi, pour nous, la journée d'allégresse et de joie. I wake up sometime too early. Oh, no. C'est ici la journée que I fall back to sleep. It works. And whatever takes place during the day, God has ordained, God has not been caught off guard. Like, oh, I forgot Gene's down there and I, oh yeah, he has a problem. No. God knows it all. And so if you start off your day with this perspective, I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying this works. There have been times in my life when, okay, I got discouraged. There have been times in my life when things didn't seem to be going the right way. Perhaps in your daily planning, you've got you got an iPad or whatever you call them nowadays. You got a strawberry, or no, it's a blueberry, or is it a blackberry? Some of you guys, you know what it is. Or you got a computer, or maybe you're old-fashioned like me and you write it down. And you know you're going through all that day, and number three is not coming around. Something happened. Oh, my! This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. In spite of what happened in number three, or what took place on your iPod, or what took place as you're driving. Our daughter drives from Chicago to her workplace. Normal time, 30 minutes. Snow time, an hour and a half. Oh, did that ever happen to you? Oh, yes. And does that thought ever come into your mind that God didn't make a mistake? Okay, sometimes we say, well, we avoid an accident. But what if you get there early? Maybe you avoid another accident. So you see, in all this perspective, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to come to the point where we say, no matter what takes place, God knew about it. When I was diagnosed with high-grade lymphoma, as they call it in France, I sat on the bed and I cried. Not because of what I had, but because of John 15:16. I had just been reading. Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. And God chose me out of our congregation to be in the hospital. And also Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Those are reality verses. And we're going to get to this point concerning the use of the Bible in a few minutes. But can you tomorrow honestly come to grips with yourself personally and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll be glad and rejoice in it, no matter what takes place. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow to you, nor to me, nor to us. Well, we got the plans out there, but they might not come through like we're hoping them, or even prayed about it. Excuse me. Flu's coming out. Gone. But can I encourage you tonight to have that perspective on life every day? It works. Now, as we move along, what else? If we just ended there, you know, we could say, let's go home tonight, that's fine, that's good. And that would work. But there's more than that in the Bible, isn't there? Certainly. Turn over a little bit and find Psalm 119. And look at verse 114. Psalm 119, verse 114. You know, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's couched between, well, close to it, or chapter 18 was the shortest verse of the Bible, shortest chapter of the Bible. And then we get to chapter 19. And you know, the Psalms, they're magnificent. Of course, all the words, it's a Bible in miniature. All the emotions are there. And then in Psalm 119, verse 114, he says this: Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Now, I'm going to extrapolate a little bit here. This is my interpretation at this point. When the psalmist said, Thou art my hiding place and my shield, and then he said, I hope in thy word, of course, he was saying this: God, you're not too far from me. Lord, David wrote it, he said, I know what a shield is. That's something that I had to hang on to. A hiding place, I know what that is, he said. When Saul was chasing me, I went into this cavern. What he's saying is, wherever I went, I was sure God was with me. Second thought. But whatever takes place, Jesus said, Lo, I'll always be with you until the end of the age. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we can say this. And I have to read it here. God said, I will not leave you, nor will I abandon you. So every day, you can say, this is the day the Lord made, but also, this day, God is with me. Now, I don't know how that grips you. Sometimes it scares me. Sometimes it thrills me. Sometimes I just can't imagine it. How is it possible that the creator of the universe, the sovereign of everything, can be with you and with me? Jesus said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, a comforter, just like I am. And you know, I don't know how you're going to work this out theologically, Pastor, but somehow, somewhere, when you move out of here tonight, when you go your different ways, God is with you. God is with me. And you know, when I think about that sometimes, I say, my, we're just small potatoes. Is that still saying here in America? Small potatoes? We're not very important. 7 billion people in the world now. 2 billion people can connect on the internet. 700,000 every hour go on Facebook. I know you appreciate those statistics, and you're probably all writing them down right now. But you know what that means? We're pretty small. Small potatoes. And you're all looking at me and you say, yeah, well, you're a French fry. But God knows everything that goes on in my life and in your life. And if I have that perspective, and if you have that perspective, wherever we are, He knows what's taking place. In the same psalm, as you realize, there are many verses that speak to the Word of God. There are probably 8 to 10 different terms that seem to bring out that terminology concerning the Word of God. Would you look in verse 105 now, please? And let's take a brief minute to talk about something else that is a distinct advantage that you and I have that the world does not have. We have the Word of God. Oh, they have it too. But you and I should use it in a proper way. This is the day the Lord has made. He said, I'll be with you always into the end of the age. There are two principles that should guide your life, that should help my life day by day, whether I'm in France or here in America or wherever you may be. And the third thought is this. Psalm 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I deliberately stayed in this part of the Bible because no doubt in your thinking, you're coming up with other verses that are farther on in the New Testament. Oh, yeah, the Word of God. Oh, yes, what God says in His Word. But let me ask you this question. How do you apply the Bible principles to your life every day? My question is, do you read the Bible every day? Do you memorize the Bible or verses every day? My question is, what do you do with what you read and what do you do with what you've memorized? Because this is the day the Lord has made. He's with us and now He's given us His Word. I got a few quotes here that I have copied off from different people in the past. And it's interesting what some will say concerning the Word of God. Just need to find them. Well, that doesn't fit. How about this? God speaks to us through His Word. What do we do with what He speaks to us with? How do we take it? How do we use it? How do we apply it? Bible teachers abound, not in France, not in Europe, but in America. Apparently, some time ago, a Bible teacher out in California said that Jesus was coming back in May. It was 2010, perhaps. Oops. How about October? No, we missed that one, too. He's not a Bible teacher. He's a Bible twister. We all can be Bible teachers to ourselves. How are you taking God's Word and applying it to your personal life? What are you doing with it? We have these promises of the future, but we have these promises of the now, how God will take care of us and sustain us and strengthen us and allow us to walk with Him and to live with Him every day. The Bible tells us very plainly that one day our life will end. In the book I've been reading, I mentioned the men this morning about Eric Liddell. At the end, there's sort of a postscript written by someone I don't even know. And he said this, all our lives begin at a certain point and end at a certain point. Let's say it's Gene Mumford. 1939, let's say 2011 on the tombstone. What's between those two dates? A dash. My life and your life is but a dash. We go by quickly. And yet God has said, I gave you this day. God has said, I'm with you. God has said, I've given you my word. Exceeding great and precious promises. But you know, a lot of times my problem is, and perhaps yours also, once again, I'm not scolding, I'm sharing. We are so earthly bound. You know, it used to be like this. He's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. A lot of times it's more like this. He's so earthly bound, he's no heavenly good. We sing, this world is not my home, I'm just a traveling through. You know, we don't have any CDs out there. You understand why, right? Now, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But a lot of times we're singing it like this. This world is still my home, I hope I stay here too. My treasures are down here, and I want to keep them too. Is that the way we are? Life goes by. We have our bells and whistles. We have our gadgets. Things are developing so quickly in the technical world, trying to keep up, and yet it's going to end someday. And how will it end? Jesus will come back and take us to heaven, or by His grace, He may take us through death. And so this is the day the Lord has made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it. God's presence has been with us. And God gives us His Word. And then fourthly, we have the privilege to talk to God. At any point, any time. You don't have to do the dial. You don't have to push the button. But we can come to any time. The privilege of prayer. My wife was teaching children in our children's group some time ago. And I believe she asked the question, what is prayer? Of course, she asked in French. And Sarah, who's 5 years old, said, it's when you talk to God. You got it. It's when you talk to God. But a lot of times, what is our prayer life like? And there's so many verses in the Old Testament and principles in the New Testament. And Jesus gives us so much. and Paul and Peter and James. And a lot of times it's prayer, asking and receiving. I've got to ask God for this because I need it. Do you realize that in the New Testament there are probably 8 to 10 words that define our relationship, our communication with God? Praise, thanksgiving, worship, confession, requests, prayer in general, intercessions, supplications. I probably missed one. And a lot of times we just limit ourselves, unfortunately. So, Moody said, you're going to ask me, what's this got to do with what I'm saying? Moody said, I've had more trouble with myself than any other man I've met. And that's where I'm talking about, or where I'm coming from. That is my problem and your problem. We still have the flesh. We call it the old nature. So how do I deal with life when life isn't going the way I think it ought to go? And I'm going to keep repeating it, because just like a missionary is once sent, the best way to remember things is to hear them over and over. God said, I've given you this day. God said, I'll be with you. God said, I've given you my word. You read it, and now he says, you can talk to me. How many verses express that in the word from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Our highest privilege is to talk to God. Our greatest responsibility is to see what he says to us. So what is he saying to you? What is he doing to you? What is he doing for you? I have two more thoughts, but I'm going to stop in a couple of minutes. Now, I want you to know that every day I don't go through this list, but I hope you can key in a couple of them. The last two are simply this way. Whatever happens to you, always remember what God has done for you in the past. Paul said, I'm not thinking about the past, I'm pressing forward. But Paul remembered what he was. Always remember his tender mercies to us. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Moses said to the people, remember what God did for you? You had enough to eat. Your clothes didn't wear out. He took care of you. So when you're faced with a difficulty and a problem or something that seems insurmountable, remember how he's taken care of you in the past? That's another way to keep going in your daily life. And then lastly, when you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, God always took care of his people. Some of them suffered, some of them died, but God took care of them. Let me close with this illustration. We recently in Europe had a tougher winter than we're normally having. In our part of the world, Angers, that area, not far from the Atlantic coast, approximately less than 100 miles, we had snow, we had black ice, we had cold weather. I drove my car to the garage to have it worked on, and it was about 22 degrees Fahrenheit. So I said, I'm going to ride my bike back 5 miles. So I ride my bike back, and I get to where we live, and there's a little incline, and there's the black ice, and I said, I got to be careful here. But I wonder what it would be like if I braked and see what would happen. Oh, my word. I should have braked back in the back part. I did the front part. Yeah, you guessed it. There he was, that old man laying on the ground. And ouch. And, you know, there are two reactions to things like that. First of all, somebody say, well, it serves him right. He shouldn't be riding a bike on black ice anyway. Now, has that ever happened in local church? Somebody is sick. Somebody has some type of difficulty, and you say, okay, you know, Hebrews chapter 12. God loves them. They're getting chastised. Or do you come up with Galatians chapter 6? Restore the brother. Pray for the brother. And at that point, when I fell off, somebody was there and said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I wasn't, but I'm okay. But see, we're getting down to the point of where the rubber meets the road. What is the Christian life all about? Is it I just go to church 3 or 4 times a week? I go to Christian school? Or is it, I'm going to live for God, and no matter what takes place, I'm going to realize that He gave me this day. He's going to be with me. I have His promise from His Word that the Word will help me. I can connect with Him. He's taken care of me in the past, and He's always taken care of His children. Will that be your perspective tomorrow? At 6 o'clock when it's time to get up, and you just lost an hour of sleep tonight or last night? You see, that's what the Christian life is all about. And if you're not there, you need to get there, just like I do. Can we bow for prayer? And the pastor will be coming, please.